use our minds to see our minds, use our minds, practice our minds. We're using the mind to train itself. This is a little challenging because an untrained mind isn't very skillful at training itself. We've only got this rather all over the place kind of, you know, impatience. It's rather like having inside your head, I think, a pack of puppies running all over the place. They're kind of sweet. They're a little bit too frantic. They can't sit still. They're wagging their tails and peeing all over the place. You know, puppies. Adorable. Useless. And so what we need to do with this pack of puppies is train these puppies to become grown-up, useful collies, you know, border collies, which are incredibly love doing the things that are useful. And so the mind can be this way. So we need to be patient for one thing, because it doesn't do a very good job right away. Patiently, patiently, over and over. And there are basic meditative skills which we can learn. And we can learn some of them and then be weak in other ones. Eventually, they all become an integrated way of being. But we can start with the pieces of them. And so there are several pieces. Some of us can find them very easy and don't need to develop them or work on them so much. Others find other ones of them easier and not those ones, and so on. And so you get to learn your own mind and which it needs and how, you know, how to help it. So here are some of the components of meditation. Let me just find what I've listed. Keep on quoting people all day, but there's all these things I want to say to you. Okay, I'll use this one. So puppies, one of the very first ways of training the mind in meditation is for attention. We can think of attention as what our, it's like a flashlight beam. It's what the beam is landing on. Our attention is like the flashlight beam. And so we can place our attention on things, on certain things. And that's one of the things we do in meditation. Okay, put your attention on your breath, for instance, is a typical first instruction. So it's not the putting so much, directing the attention to something. One of the first and main skills, which take a long time for it to become integrated, is to stay, is to keep the attention somewhere, to rest the attention somewhere, to hold the attention somewhere. And it doesn't mean nail it down either. I used to think it was like that. It was like, I'm just going to grip my teeth and pound my fist and not going to think a thought. I'm going to stay stuck to the end of my nose with my attention. Well, that gets very hard work, and it's, you get very tired, and it's rather defeating, and it's not much fun. It's very grim and tight. With time, we learn actually to rest the attention. Like when you place something on something and it settles down. So it's a calming, a settling of attention in something. And this is very hard for puppies to do. They don't want to stay. One of the main reasons is our minds believe, and we, not just our minds, but we have taken on what the mind thinks as being the truth, that something else will be better than this. So we're always othering, I call it. The next moment, the next something, something different. When this is not so bad, when the sun comes out, when the mortgage is paid, when the kids leave home, whatever it is, when I'm not feeling like I've got a headache, then I'll be able to be here. But until then, I have to get all these things done. We believe deeply this. So the mind doesn't believe that this right here, that's why it's not content initially. It's got to find the next exciting thing. So we need, in order to help ourselves stay present, we need a certain calm initially. And we're usually upset to some extent or another. When we start looking inside yourself, you'll see that there's a kind of squirmy, squiggly, not quite okayness going on, which means maybe I've got to do something else or get something else, and then I'll settle down. That whole upset state. And so one of the early skills in meditation is to, I use the word soothe ourselves. And what I mean by that is whether it's being kind, which is hugely important, being kind to ourselves, or, and there's many different ways to do this, but uplift. The Buddha called it gladden, to gladden the heart, to nourish the heart, to count some blessings, to reflect on some of the beauty in your life, or goodness, or nobility, or good fortune you have. Your intelligence, your sensitivity, your good heart, the way you've done nice things. It doesn't matter what it is, what the detail is, but in some way, bring a sense of uplift to your spirit. Not just uplift, happy, la la la, but richness, I would say, goodness. In whatever way for you that's possible, and there's a million ways. It's just counting blessings, you know. This place is, we're living in a peaceful country. With amazing, it's pretty amazing. I mean, you know, I don't agree with everything about the government, but when I want to dial 911 and the ambulance shows up, it's fantastic. Whatever, you know, you don't have to do it in a formal way, but in whatever way for yourself, bring some sense of well-being into your system, which calms you down. That's necessary at the beginning of any period of trying to train your puppies to meditate. Some people read Mary Oliver poem, or, you know, nice music, some pretty something or other. Arrange the little altar to a little bit of beautiful, light your candle. Fuss with the flowers like I just did, you know, that kind of thing, whatever. It just allows us to kind of feel like, oh yeah, this is a little bit of a sacred space. Some way to bring some gladdening, some meaning, some uplift. That's essential to begin with. Contemplation, we might call this. There's another element that's absolutely essential, and we're going to practice these pieces today. That's why I'm bringing us into them. Be aware of them. That's one piece to gladden. One piece is to relax, because that frantic puppy behavior is also just, you know, tension, because we're sort of speedy and wound up. So we need to relax, a lot of relax, to calm down. So you can just really check through your body often. Unfrown the frowning. Drop the shoulders, you know, take a nice sigh or two, and so on. Just the basic way of relaxing the system. Another very important component, and you have to keep doing these over and over and over to keep checking on these things, to bring these components into your practice. Another essential piece is a sense of curiosity. A curiosity about your inner experience. We're mostly engaged in and fascinated by and believe that value for ourselves is in what's going on outside. The world, the situation, the people, the busy activities. We don't actually believe that well-being is just by letting go of a lot of that and just becoming quiet and settled down. I gave you some of an idea of how that works already by talking as I have, but we want to be able to see and understand what's going on inside in my inner life. It's my inner life that will produce well-being. It's not all of those qualities that I just was talking about as we integrate meditation in our lives aren't about what's going on outside ourselves. They're our inner experiences. And so we need to get to know them. And so we need to be interested in them. Not just to look inside at ourselves, but not, because the tendency is we're very good at just getting little sound bites, and we're getting better at sound bites. Like the quicker the better, the shorter, you know, the just a little phrase, even just a little picture now. We are going to do it all in little, whatever they call them, those little emoticon thingamies. So you would get the whole picture as fast as possible. It's very superficial. It's very speedy. And puppies are like that, a little quick this and a little quick that, a little taste of this. And we want to actually be able to stay with something longer, to sink into something. I talked about peripheral and deep. We're very good at peripheral experience. A moment here, a moment here. I call it glancing off things. A touch of this, a tick box here. Yep, got that. Yep, on to the next thing. Fast. Meditation and the skills of meditation aren't that. They're actually being able to stay with something and be interested in it enough to keep being with it. If you're not interested, you will not stay. If the puppy doesn't find anything interesting, it'll run onto something else that may be more interesting. So we need to generate a sense of curiosity in order to be able to stay with our inner experience. Of course, we don't want to stay with our inner experience. If we've got a sore knee or a headache or we're feeling embarrassed about something, We don't want to stay there. We want to fantasize about going to Rome on a cruise ship or something. That'd be much nicer. And so we avoid a lot because we're afraid of what we might find, or when we begin to find what isn't so pleasant, we don't want to do it. We don't believe in it. We think we must be happy. And so we haven't understood that being with and understanding what's happening is what grows the capacity, for instance, tolerance, for instance. And it brings understanding when we can see what's really going on. So we need to, this sort of sense of curiosity about your inner experience. And if it isn't there, it's hard to generate. That's a tricky thing, because if your mind is such that it really believes the next moment it will be better, why would I be interested in this boring breath, for goodness sake? What's so interesting? So you have to try and generate some interest, which is some of the ways I'll guide you in meditation. Another part of meditating is really important. Goes along, they all, not really separate, these are all skills that as you become integrated, you'll recognize them all. It's just stop bargaining about it's going to be better when, the expectations and the comparings and so on. You have to let a lot go and just just shut up and do it. It's like that. It's a kind of like, let this be what you're simply doing. We're so easily bored, we're so easily seeking drama and stimulus and something other and something bigger, and we want to get to the end of the road before we even take the first step, and stop all that nonsense and just be quiet and be simple and just stay here and be a little interested and relax. It's not the way of the world, and so it's radical. It's simpler, it's very easy, because it's not the way. Then we have to keep over and over, okay, just calm down here. So a sort of letting go or giving up of the other things that we think. Along with that is the word surrender. Surrender, just surrender to this. You're just going to surrender to sitting here with a slightly sore right knee for a few minutes. Can you just do that? So that comes with that attitude of meditation. Whereas without that much training, we're like, I want it to be like this. And we're trying to make it be something. We're trying to kind of run a show, direct ourselves, drive the truck. Meditation is like, sit in the back. Let it just go where it's going and see what happens. There's a kind of loosening of that having to direct everything. So these things are simple, I'm saying. Meditation is very simple, but it's very hard to do because we don't do those things. We're very good at being puppies and running around and othering and judging and, you know, trying and expecting. And we're busy, 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 busy in there. And so this is a learning to be less busy, unbusying. So it takes, funnily enough, discipline to do less. It's such a weird thing, ironic.